What's up, everybody, and welcome to the playoff version of the Swolecast here on rotogrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, joined by my co-host. Let's start with you, Mr. Toto 5. How's it going?
It's going all right. Got some Tottenham going on in the background.
Yeah.
We had a little pregame chat about the Arsenal spot betting situation. I think that one's interesting for those of you who have not seen. There was suspicious activity found suspicious betting patterns surrounding an Arsenal player receiving a yellow card. So we were talking about that in the Slack chat pre-show too. And it's, I think it's interesting. I'll be interested to hear the details.
I agree.
Yeah. Like imagine getting in trouble because there's suspicious activity on a yellow card. Like,
and it's a, so it's a, like, it's equivalent of a prop bet, right? So that's the interesting part to me. Our buddy PSU fan brought something up. There's a lot more potential for politics and whatnot involved in this situation with the Albanian government, things like that, with the supposed potential player.
Well, do you remember when he got in trouble at the Euros? When granted the guy, no. He's the guy. So Albania is in there's like go. A long-standing political dispute between I believe it's because he's a Swiss national, but he was born in Albania, and he scored a goal or the team scored a goal or whatever, and he did like a golden eagle celebration, which I guess is like that's somehow related to Albania, and he got a huge fine at the European Championships for doing it, because you're not supposed to be making these big political statements during the game. So, and also Granit Xhaka is just an asshole, which is what people tuned into this whole cast to hear.
Well, I do think it's interesting because, like, I'm trying to compare it in my mind to it happening
in like the NBA,
NBA or NFL, and it's like,
it'd be very hard to rig it in the NFL where like you got on your prop one way or the other, but NBA players could totally do it, like field goal attempt props or like unders. They could totally score. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter, what are you eating?
I just had one more pretzel left. I've been trying to, you know, time my mutes correctly. And it was good for me to know what Tuttle feels like when we talk about speculative art tier bullshit. And he just kind of zones out and gets a snack. Also, I had a realization that dawned on me right as we were going live. And I don't know if Tuttle and Davis put this together, but we were figuring out the Swolecast schedule over the next few weeks. And it sounds like we're obviously on today. We're not doing next week, but then we'll be back maybe for the Super Bowl. I realized that this perfectly coincides with Kitchen being able to tout the Titans and then rug the show when they lose to the Bengals this week and not have to do it. And I was like, no wonder this is why Kitchen wanted this for the schedule.
Yeah. So you weren't there because you weren't there before the show, but we were talking about there's a guy named Bob Cramatola on Twitter, and he said, if anybody
do not feed the trolls, sir.
What
are you about to feed the trolls right now?
Oh, this is the guy offering tickets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to the show, Davis. As far as though, what he said, if anyone is in Nashville and wants to go to the game that's in the fantasy industry, that's a Bengals or a Titans fan, you know, let me know. So someone added me on here and it's in a suite. And I check the guy's profile. It checks out. And then I look, and Dan Bach also responded with Carlucci's name. Like, I don't even know if I want to go because it's still going to be cold. And if they lose, it's got to be like, you got
to
put
Isn't
on like
the other Titans game you went to. Didn't they get boat raced the other game you went to this year?
This year? Yeah, exactly. It was the first game. I don't want to go to the first part. And the last game.
Yeah, but Kitchen, if you don't go because it's cold, that means you're softer than Leone, who went to the Bills game this past weekend. Can you really be softer than Leone?
But that was such a good spot for Leone because they were so obviously going to win by a million. Like that was a game you go to.
And it's in a suite. Like I am not overconfident about the Titans at all. Like I'm in the mindset of if it happens, great. I'm going to be like really happy. But I've been in this situation before as a Cubs fan, as a Titans fan, as a Vandy fan. I feel like it's prepped me for just disappointment when it comes to fandom. So I'm ready for it. Bring it on. That being said, let's go Titans. Derrick Henry cleared for contact.
But yeah, he's not technically active, right?
Yeah, but I guess he passed whatever the contact drill, because someone else tagged me on the Derrick Henry Schefter tweet.
Everyone, poor Dave's so, mentions, man, just sifted through all these tags every day.
Kitchen like, just, that Twitter game's on fire.
Anything Titans related? Anything Garland related? Anything Mooncat related? I generally Queen. Get at least one or
Dairy
two.
Queen.
Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen tagged. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually have a playoff story somewhat similar to what you're talking about. I'd never been to Lambeau Field.
Oh, I do remember this. The Niners game.
Yep, Niners when Kaepernick ran all over them, and it was negative 20 degrees.
It was Tuttle's first ever game.
Yep, first ever game at Lambeau.
Wow.
Yeah, and Kaepernick just tore us.
Wasn't it like the coldest game ever? Like,
yep. Yeah, it was like negative 20 or something like that.
So
seats weren't even that good.
Do you start to get PTSD when you see Trey Lance might start?
I do, yeah. 100%. 100%. It's going to happen. I'm scared shitless about Debo just like plowing over everybody and whatever the weather's going to be like this weekend. I'm sure it'll be
single. The Packers are going to smash. I bet I have the worst going to a football game story of the four of us. I went to a Chiefs-Colts game in like 2012. When like Tyler Thigpen was the Chiefs quarterback, it was like negative 10 degrees. And it was the game that the Chiefs broke the NFL record for team rushing yards in a game. And they lost by like 10 to Andrew Luck, who I like famously hated. So had to go. It was one of the worst days of my life. It was awful.
Yeah.
Peyton Hillis, worse than the Tyler Hero
moment.
Nothing was worse than that. That's a 100K moment, bro.
Yeah.
Tyler Thigpen was so fun to play in DFS back in the day.
No, he was not.
I mean, this was before DFS. Like I didn't even benefit from Peyton Hillis having like 210 rushing yards.
So Davis, last week when the Cowboys just that was bad.
I'm a Chiefs fan, so.
So I'm curious about this, Davis. Like, so us, we're not fans of the Cowboys, but like somebody like me rosters CeeDee Lamb. It went from just completely pain, like so much pain, to just the most comical thing ever because of how the decision making behind it.
Like Dalton Schultz leading your team in receiving in a game in which you were losing for four quarters is so inexcusable. Like, we're not even like 3 weeks ago, I was arguing with people on Twitter that Kellen Moore would be stupid to take the Jaguars job because eventually he gets to be head coach of the Cowboys. And now I'm like, go be the assistant coach at the Colorado School of Mines, dude. Like, you are not cut out for this. You are not ready for this level of responsibility.
You knew everybody that either played CeeDee Lamb or any Cowboys or in their playoff best ball or live bet the Cowboys, because they were just tweeting through it during that game. And then Davis, I saw Nate body bag you about the CeeDee Lamb take.
Because he was going through it. He was tilting. Yeah, he played CeeDee in cash. So he was like, this has got to be someone else's problem because it's not
Nate
my problem.
Nate was playing
right
cash on that 3-game slate.
Buddy, it's always cash game week.
Yeah, that's the most embarrassing thing I've heard.
I think he played it for the six gamer for all of them. Can't confirm or deny. But I mean, look, the Cowboys suck. They're a poverty franchise. They're gonna lose all of their assistant coaches and they're gonna keep Mike McCarthy. They're gonna go 10-7 and they're gonna lose in the wild card round to the Saints next year. They're bad. They should feel bad. And Troy Aikman correctly just destroying the Cowboys. I mean, Troy Aikman having a moment of like awareness and cognizance of what's happening on a football field is just incredible because I mean, everyone involved should be embarrassed.
Yeah. Troy Aikman and Silva finally kind of came together.
Those guys would be fast friends. I'll tell you what.
they really would. All right. So obviously, those games were complete trash. Looking forward,
I enjoyed the Bills and the Chiefs game. I enjoy a proper dismantling of a shitty team like that. That
Bills
was
and
fun.
Patriots. Bills and Patriots.
No, so I enjoyed the Bills game and the Chiefs game.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, it was okay, but just like it wasn't interesting at all. So Bill's game was good if you like rostered those players.
I mean, you're just watching because you're so scared, knowing that one of those two teams awaits the Titans if they're able to get past the Bungles.
I would be so lucky if we just had to play one team that we had already beaten to go to the Super Bowl.
See, I was going to ask why you're actually not more confident, because
of my pedigree of fandom.
my pedigree?
Your front running pedigree?
No, Cubs fan.
Like, I didn't even know you were a Cubs fan. How can you even wear that as a badge of honor if I don't even know?
Because
that?
I was a huge Cubs fan, like growing up, like to the point where, and honestly, like DFS kind of took a little bit out of that, but you learn to expect. I remember after the Bartman game, like going on a drive. Like, just, I grew up with Sammy Sosa on the walls, listening to Harry Carey on WGN. Like, they were always last, or they were always like just so many different heartbreak. And then Vandy, terrible in everything except for college baseball. And then being a Titans fan, like having that game in, you know, on the 1 yard line, all this stuff just culminates into me setting expectations low.
I just think everything's breaking right exactly how a Titan fan would want.
Exactly.
You got to be bullish heading this. You're playing the worst team of the remaining wildcard teams. You didn't want to play the Bills or the Chiefs. Yeah. You get the Bengals at home, who are vulnerable. You're getting your king back. Why aren't you rah, rah, we're going to win by 10?
I am rah, rah. Like, I'm excited, but I'm not thinking that we're going to win by 10, because it's just setting expectations low. So when you do win, it makes that gratification even more so.
Well, I want you to be overconfident so we can a show next week and make fun of you.
So you can deflate me. I will already be deflated. You cannot take the ball air out of the ball anymore. All right. Tuttle and Davis, how are the soccer games going?
They lock in 1 minute.
Okay. I see Tuttle clicking around
locked.
The screen.
It's locked. No, I'm a working man. I'm trying to get a... run of
he's got
ownership
he, I mean, yeah he's got ownership pro- he's got a, he's got ownership projections for a 13 game slate where half the players are gonna end up not playing.
That's gonna be good birthday present.
Today's your birthday?
It is, yes.
What
yeah. How do we not know this?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tuttle.
Tuttle, and happy birthday to me for having my birthday on Friday.
Yeah, it's me. Thank you, and then Dink, right? Dink soon.
Yeah, Dink is soon.
And then I feel like there's actually even one more person, but I don't remember who.
What are you doing for your birthday tonight?
Nothing. Just ownership projections for a 13 game.
Congratulations. I'm a little upset that my birthday got turned into Jonathan Bale's day. What they're calling my birthday now is Jonathan Bale's day. So
love to see it.
I think I missed your birthday too, Kitchen. Happy birthday.
No,
Bale's.
You wish Bale's me happy parlaying. Birthday and called me your mentor.
Oh, I did. I forgot that was the speculative art tier bullshit day. I did remember.
Bale's parlaying the purchase of an NBA gift into like a whole new career and reason for people to spend money and read his work is just, he's so good. I mean, no one is better at Bale's than articulating their own behavior in such a way that just makes them seem like a genius at all times.
Yeah. I can't tell if that was a backhanded compliment or not.
No, I think Bales is a genius. Like, Bales posts, he can't stop buying goons, and I buy the absolute top. I mean, it's just the way.
Wait, that doesn't back up your story of like wishing him, like calling him a genius.
You're just telling he made all the money. He profited off all these goons. He made money on the goons. He pumped the bags. I guess I don't know if he sold or not. Also, it's like immaterial to him because he just, he runs good.
The Mooncats did go on a tear right after our show. Not sure if you saw.
It's got to be correlated.
So it wasn't. Who bought one person did buy a Mooncat that watched the show because they sent me a message thanking me for it because the floor rose from 0.6 to 1.1. No, it's back down. Anyways,
would you rather own one Mooncat or one Smilesverse?
Mooncat.
Nah,
I mean, why even ask Dave that question when you know the answer?
What about you, Pete? One mooncat, one smile.
You could say like the legit original Mona Lisa, and Dave would still say a mooncat for the brand.
You talk about legit original Mona Lisa, the mooncats are kind of the legit original
Mona Lisa. I set you up to that.
It's the first on-chain generative art project.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Brainwashing is working.
I still just blows my mind that Kitchen was in so early, was going so hard, and mooncats happened, and then he just stopped. It was like nothing else happened after mooncats.
No, see, you have the timeline mixed up.
It's a mental health strategy.
No, I was going hard, including mooncats. They were just part of what I was going hard with, including Bored Apes. I think I was hardest in Bored Apes. And then I sold Bored Apes, and then everything on Bored Apes went like, to the moon and back. Like, looking up some of these, I looked up just one of my profile picture. It's now 190 ETH for sale. If you want to buy that. So anyways, I had to come back.
Get out of here with your speculative art tier bullshit.
Just be thankful this show would not exist if Kitchen, and I don't say that because Kitchen would have been so, rich that he wouldn't want to do the show. He would have been so insufferable that we all would have quit.
Yeah. Yeah, but I had to come back to a blue chip project that I know would never paper hand. All right, moving on to this weekend's games, if you would allow me.
I will.
So a lot of people last week said that the show was insufferable. First
why?
Time.
Why would they say that?
I don't know. It's just a typical show. All right. Starting with the Bengals and the Titans. Like, legit. Don't give your response to like get a rise out of me, but like, legit, what do you think is going to happen this weekend, Davis?
I think the Bengals are going to win 31-28, probably something like that. Something in that range, maybe 24-21. I think the Titans will probably take a lead, and that will cause the Bengals to not do the boring Joe Mixon stuff and just the Bengals did the smart thing. They were just like, we're in a playoff game. Let's give the ball to Ja'Marr Chase 15 times. And, I think there are some other people out there in the football world who could maybe learn something from that.
Peter?
I'm terrified the Titans are going to win. The Bengals were super trendy round one pick, even as favorites. It was like no one even wanted to give the Raiders a single chance. They have such a fun offense that I think we all kind of wish cast on the Bengals. Mm-hmm. We all want a Bengals versus Chiefs or Bills AFC championship game. And I just am worried these plucky cockroach Titans who never go away are going to get it done at home, and you're going to make us do a show next week.
I'm not really that worried about it, but I do want to do a show next week.
Would you do it for free?
I don't do anything for free, buddy.
All right. I just want to see like how much you wanted it. Tuttle, what do you think? Do you think Ja'Marr Chase is going to go off, or do you think that Christian Fulton is going to blanket him?
I think it's going to be an ugly game, because that's what the Titans like to do. They like to like to ugly it up. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. So if you're playing the four game slate, what, we're fading both games on Saturday? Mostly.
Probably. Yeah.
And then just stacking up the two Sunday games.
Rams and Bucks, Bills and Chiefs. What do you, who do you think, if you had to place one bet right now in futures, who would it be? Still the Packers, Davis?
No, I would bet whoever you think is going to win between the Bills and the Chiefs, because the closeness of that game is impacting their futures odds quite a bit.
Yeah, but what are the odds? That's kind of the point, right? On why you would bet the Packers?
Well, I don't think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
I think the AFC team, I just think both the Bills and the Chiefs are better and would be favored on a neutral field.
Packers, I'm seeing plus 350, Chiefs plus 400, Bills plus 500, Bucks plus 550, Rams 750, Titans plus 850, 49ers plus 1100, Bengals 1400.
Bills, then give me the underdog of that game.
Yeah. Because, yeah, and then whoever wins that is beating the Bengals.
Just does not really feel like the Bills should be underdogs in that game, to be honest.
I think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
What? Matt Stafford's going to have just such
an Stafford has a 3 interception game in him.
That said, these takes are coming from the two guys who said Jimmy Garoppolo was going to have a meltdown game, which he basically
he did.
He did.
We were right.
They would have stopped the run and just made him throw. You saw what he was capable of.
Yeah, I'm
still tilting that game so hard. Ugh.
I had the biggest issue for me for tilting that game. I hit on Gio Bernard. I had these Gio Bernard lineups I was happy about.
I played Gio in the 6 game slate, and it didn't end up mattering.
Yeah. I mean, because we played too many Cowboys, basically.
I played Dak and CeeDee.
Yeah, that's why I was tilting so hard. It's because you start off
and I played Daryl. I played Daryl too.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. So I quote tweet. I saw
you quote tweet one of your haters, and that is typically not a Tuttle thing to do.
No, I quote tweeted the Daryl tweet, and I legit saw that while I was doing a stream for Sunday morning. And I'm not gonna lie, like that kind of sold me a little bit on him, like him being all right, because it was, what was it? Today, it's a great day to be great, I think was his tweet.
Yeah, I did see that.
I'm not like, oh shit, Daryl's ready to go.
Not a great day to be great in the end.
Who is the guy? Day. That's what Ian always tweets on Twitter, right? He like posts a picture of some hot dogs with ketchup and says it's a great day to be great.
Yeah, great day to eat hot dog and bread.
Sheesh. I did see Jake Seeley's came out with some like way too early fantasy rankings. He's got Keyshawn way like up really high in the event that the Bucks don't sign Fournette.
That's the thing though, is they always will bring in a dust ball though. They brought in Lev this year, they brought in LeSean McCoy last year. You know, who knows who the dust ball will be, you know, Melvin Gordon next year or something.
But Keyshawn's still there, so.
Right, but the bringing in of the dust ball is what you'd like to avoid.
It's going to be pretty much anywhere that lets someone walk. All right. 49ers and Packers.
I feel like we didn't give a single prop bet for the people, and they want it for the Cincinnati-Tennessee game.
Okay. Over Chase 6 receptions whenever that gets posted.
I'll take the over Joe Mixon, 85.5 total yards.
No chance.
I like it.
I'll take Julio Jones over the 42.5 yards he's got on DK.
Wow, Dave. All right.
Take the Pats and Daka ruining my clean sheet. And
I was going to say, who scored already?
Just the defense bungled everything. Just gave him an easy goal.
Pats and Daka is good, bro. 99 pace.
No, stop. Speculative soccer.
Speculative soccer tier bullshit.
Bullshit. Speculative soccer day bullshit.
All right. Tuttle, you don't have a prop. Any other props that you guys like?
No, here's to the own the libs. This is the own the libs prop bet.
Yeah.
The Julio Jones over. 42.5 yards.
Someone gonna tell him.
Producer,
it's his birthday. Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Oh God, did he get announced out?
No,
Kitchen literally just touted that like 30 seconds ago.
I was like scrolling the best. I'm like, did he just get announced out or some shit? No.
Someone's got to tell him. All right,
it's a double coffin because one, you did the Davis, but two, you're tailing Kitchen.
You're aligning.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Happy birthday.
Right. And Davis, you think this game's a shootout, so go with the over, I guess.
I just think both of the defenses are bad. And Tannehill's numbers when both Julio and AJ Brown are both active are so much better. It's like unbelievable, which should be obvious.
I'm trying not to be a homer here, but Tennessee's defense is not bad. Like,
yeah,
they are pretty good. Don't go by that DVOA speculative,
speculative metric bullshit.
Yeah, like,
I mean, gave up 36 to the Patriots, gave up 31 to the Colts, 30 to the Seahawks, 27 to the Jets, 25 to the Texans. I mean, I'm just gonna say, I wouldn't classify them as like a real defensively strong team overall.
Okay,
Kitchen, wait. Just say Titans by 10 and suck it. We just need it.
Titans by 10. So there Thank you it. Go.
Thank you. You're gonna need that one.
Yeah, Zach Cunningham. Though. Zach, I did the motions.
Okay.
DX, Degeneration X. All right. What 49ers and Packers go from one homer to the next. Tuttle, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
I do think the Packers are going to win
by six or more.
Yes, by more than six. I'm a little uncomfortable because I think they're the popular play. I think they've got the narratives of everybody's getting healthy at the right time, which is theoretically good, but narratively scary. But I do think they win. Like I said, Debo's the only guy I'm worried about. If you want the flop leg game, then George Kittle's the option here. I will say, like, the narrative that George Kittle is just blocking a ton more is not really true if you just look at
They just don't throw him the ball.
Yeah, they just don't throw him the ball. And people are trying to explain it by saying he's blocking more. He's not blocking more. He's running routes, just not getting the ball thrown his way. So I still think you can use him in DFS as kind of a contrarian option. So that's my take. My take is Packers win. Debo has a decent enough game as a rusher. Kittle has a decent enough game as a receiver, but Packers win by double digits.
Okay, I'm looking at not a lot of player props out yet, but there are touchdown props out right now for the players. And almost, I'm using the odds compare tool on Scores and Odds. There's a plug for the company. And pretty much all the best touchdown odds are found at BetMGM, where you can get up to $200 deposit bonus just by using the code GrindersBet.
Wow. So just company, a little man.
Food for thought. If you go, like, literally almost, I think, maybe four or five out of every single player you could, like, the best odds are on BetMGM. That's not even close. All right. Peter, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Well, I want Trey Lance to start and to upset the Packers and just serve as some vindication for being on Trey Lance all off season. And I won't really have any way to necessarily profit from it. If that happens,
your brand will profit.
That's right. And that's all that matters around here is the brand profiting. So yeah, I do think if they roll out an injured, Jimmy G on the road, cold Lambeau, he's going to be a miserable play. And so I just want the most exciting thing, which is Trey Lance. And sure, the range of outcomes, they could probably lose by 20 with Trey Lance at quarterback, but they could also be right in the game with a couple big plays. So I'm hoping Trey Lance starts and makes it interesting.
Davis?
I mean, clearly we want Trey Lance. So sorry, it just makes that game is not even going to be good. The Packers are just going to do what they do. And Davante Adams will have 8 for 140 and a touchdown. And we're going to have AJ Dillon body blows in the cold. I mean, it's just so obvious, right?
So my only question was, Schefter's a paid shill, a paid Jimmy G shill at this point, right?
Well,
I hadn't heard this theory.
Jimmy G has made himself a lot of money.
Like, yeah, I'm not alone on this, right? Like, it's 100% a thing. I noticed it. So he was touting him up.
Schefter used to watch the Swole Cast, so easy.
Used to. Big words there. Used to.
Yeah, but he does not like the speculative art tier bullshit at all.
I think he left when Peter Overzet joined the cast.
when God... closes a Schefter, brings in this guy.
So the thing is, what makes it so obvious, he doesn't do it about any other player. It's like out of nowhere, he just starts hyping up Jimmy G. He did it against the when he led the comeback against the Rams. He actually had a good game that game. And then Sunday morning last week, he just sent out an unprompted tweet about how much money Jimmy G has made himself by putting together a pretty decent season.
I mean, he probably does that for a lot of people though, right?
Yeah, cash in the favors. That's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, do you think you so Tuttle, you don't want opinions from an NFL reporter, that's what you're saying. Like, just give me the beat, right?
No, give me hashtag ad is what I want.
Okay. you want a declaration that does an ad. All right. I get it.
No, rap is a whole different thing. Rap is just an idiot. That guy interjects opinion like nothing else. And that's why I actually like that bugs me, because rap, he does interject his opinion, but he writes it as if it's fact.
Yeah.
Like he writes that he basically has a source that this is 100% going to happen and true. And it's just speculative bullshit.
Where are we at on Glazer? Because that's another genre where he gives his video report on Sundays before the game, and you'll see the people being Glazer just said this on Fox. Yep. And it's like never a tweet. It's generally someone transcribing.
It's someone reporting what Jay Glazer said, which is
always pretty good hit rate.
Yeah.
I think his is pretty solid.
I'm in with Glazer. He's got a good enough hit rate.
Davis. I don't ever remember tilting Jay Glazer. Like I do not recall a Jay Glazer said Sony Michel is gonna get more work and then actually he didn't. Whereas like I can, you know, Rap Sheet's done that 100 times. Yep. Rap Sheet had a source with the Cowboys that Terrence Williams was gonna get the targets and actually it was Cole Beasley.
It reminds me of the old days when there were not like all these news services. Like it was Roto World, and Roto World wasn't even like DFS focused at the time. This is before Labs, before RG did their player alerts. And so like you were hanging on whatever tweet that you could find. And people, and so people used that to mess with people, and they would basically catfish these accounts. And one time, I forget who it was. Oh, it was STL. He retweeted an account about someone being Tuttle. You probably remember. It was like someone being out.
Yeah, it was just a normal news item.
But it was a major person being out. Yeah, and he retweeted with or something like that, and then so everybody started following him, and then I think after lineup lock we figured out that person
it was before. Yeah, but people followed it, but then it was before line like. Because he didn't have a check mark. So yeah. I always at least check their profile a little bit.
So people looked at his Twitter history and it was not a beat reporter's Twitter history.
There was a lot about what Bills fans were throwing on the field last week.
Yes, exactly. But those were the good old days. I did see where Gelkin got catfished last week with a Derek Carr being out with COVID. So it's still happening these days. Yep. All right. Next game, the Sunday slate of games. These are what we hope to be the good games. Rams and Bucks. Ooh, man.
I really hope it's good, but it feels Chiefs Bucks just does feel sort of inevitable.
Really?
I'm kind of with Soccer Dave with the Rams here.
Really?
Their offense is, I mean, like, let's not add any more hype to what a guy who's going to be like the most hyped guy going into next year. But Cam Akers looked incredible in that game.
He did. I mean, it is like actually unbelievable that he is doing this 6 months after tearing his Achilles or whatever.
And they've got the studs on defense. Like, I just think that, I think Brady struggles a little bit in this game. So that's my prediction, is the Rams win it. So take the money line. Davis, your prediction is the opposite.
This is just like, you know, Brady throwing to, it just builds on his bullshit legacy that I hate. You know, he
speculative.
Wins. Yeah.
Speculative bullshit legacy.
Speculative legacy tier bullshit. But, you know, I mean, he wins the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers after Chris Godwin leaves and he overcomes Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette is banged. It's just like, get this guy out of my life, dude. I'm so sick of dealing with Tom Brady. But yeah, I mean, you just know, you know, Brashad Perryman's going to be like wide open. Like the game's going to be close and Perryman's going to be wide open, or I don't know. Gronk also is like, he's going to have an explosion game too, I think, before the end of the playoffs.
Okay. You agree, Peter?
No, I mean, I think this is going to be a tough spot for the Rams on the road. I just feel like Stafford has been more up and down. I also think getting Fournette back, if they get him, is a boost for kind of the Bucks, you know, pirate ship machine here, just kind of trugging along. I think we're destined for a Packers Bucks NFC championship game.
Man.
Yeah.
It's crazy that Tuttle and I are siding so much on the playoff stuff.
Yeah, you're really ruining it.
Tuttle, you need to get it. Tuttle, you need to get in the lab, brother.
I'm going to be on a team Tristan Wirfs matters.
Okay. What's his practice status?
Davis, you know who Tristan Wirfs is?
He's a tackle for the Bucks, but he came back in. He got hurt and he came back in the game.
Yeah, but
so he should be fine.
Can he stop that Rams pass rush? Because we saw what Kyler did.
DNP today. Tristan Wirfs, DNP today.
Just getting some little veteran rest. Don't sweat it.
Oh, God. Did you play Kane?
No. Obviously.
Obviously not.
No, dude. I really hate him.
All right. So props for this game. Petey, props. Who do you have?
How did this happen?
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking at some of the lines up on Underdog. The Odell one looks light, 45.5 receiving yards there.
Yeah, I think too. I think it's light too. Same.
What's Odell to score, like -500?
I mean, if the Rams do win here, maybe it's like Odell could be this year's version of Lenny, you know, the playoff hero, playoff.
Oh,
Odell.
McKinnon is this year's Lenny.
Yeah, but McKinnon doesn't have as beleaguered of a past as Leonard Fournette. I guess it's
McKinnon
Rocky.
McKinnon is like the most beleaguered past.
But he wasn't drafted fourth overall.
Not high enough.
Davis.
Not as high.
No,
as
but it's like, pedigree. But it's like McKinnon has been in the NFL. This is how long Jerick McKinnon has been in the NFL. He was drafted as Adrian Peterson's backup in Minnesota. That's how long he's been. Dude, that guy is beleaguered, but you're right.
It took him a few years to get his shot. So his legs are fresh. He is LaDainian Tomlinson. Light.
This certainly is a thing that you could say.
Have you ever checked his does his player profiler still say LaDainian Tomlinson?
Probably.
Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like that was his comp for on player profiler.
You know that Manchin just put shit like that in there to be funny. Like it's not actually.
No, like this was an actual take.
No, they didn't even have the combine back when LaDainian Tomlinson got drafted, but like he had put like Jerry Rice in for CeeDee Lamb. Like he just does it to be funny.
Davis.
It's not, I'm telling you that this is
That's
true.
Not the case with LaDainian.
Okay. Dude, I have liked Jerick McKinnon longer than anyone on this show, and
no,
I'll tell you it's not true.
I was the original JMK truth.
No.
The Jet.
There is a 0% probability that this is true.
Check the receipts.
But so I will say there's so many layers to the McKinnon tilt that we experienced when he went off, because we were all there from the beginning. Like Davis had the tweet. We were there when Matt Asiata was stealing goal line touches.
Like like this should actually be a spot where I'm getting rich, and I'm not getting rich because I 100%. Played Daryl fucking Williams.
Yep.
Sorry, Sosa.
And then there was also the season thing too, right? With best balls, like theoretically, Jerick McKinnon makes a great.
Oh no, I took all Daryl Williams. Can't join you there.
Well, yeah. All right. I guess you were sharper.
Was there? Did we have any indication other than just Darrell not being 100%?
No,
was there a single report?
The Beats didn't know. No, nothing. because even if you wanted to go, even if you wanted to look at it this way, if you go look at the week 18 game where Daryl and Clyde got hurt, he had 5 carries and 3 targets. Derek Gore had 7 carries and 1 target. Now McKinnon scored the touchdown or whatever, but it's not like he was like Gore played the same amount of snaps. So it's not even like the indication was there from the previous game.
Yeah. That was frustrating. Because I mean, all it would have taken, as Tuttle was inferring, with us having, you know, wish casted on McKinnon for years, like if we got one little morsel,
literally a morsel,
we were just jamming.
Well, and you know what? The only tea leaf that we should have that we could have read to figure out Daryl was maybe more banged up was that they re-signed Darwin Thompson off the Buccaneers practice squad.
There was that.
That should have been, I mean, that's something you look at retrospectively and say, you know, maybe we should have known or whatever. But the fact is that there was nothing.
I do wish, I mean, obviously for like, I wish Daryl Williams would have been ruled out, but I also wish it because I think people would have played Gore. I definitely would have sided with McKinnon. That I always just side with the pass catcher in a situation like that. And we knew McKinnon would at least take third down roll then.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah, it was brutal.
All right. What does Cam Akers do in this contest, Davis?
13 carries, 54 yards, a rushing touchdown, 5 targets, 4 receptions, and 37 yards.
Wow.
That Sony Michel game was so tilting for the people that took the over on his rushing prop. Did you see this?
No.
He had a
35 yarder to start.
He had a 55 yard rushing prop, gets 35 yards, and then Cam Akers just takes over basically the second, third, and most of the fourth quarters. And Michel gets a few garbage time carries, like trying to ice the cake, ends up getting 54 yards.
Well,
Pat McAfee show that everyone tailed that had this in there and he was 1 yard short, but I guess FanDuel refunded everyone that played it. So,
and the thing that people don't remember is that Sony's actually terrible, and there's a reason that the Patriots had him as their fifth string running back behind J.J. Taylor. It's like people got very, myself included, got very irrationally exuberant about Sony Michel for a little while.
And maybe that's why Cam Akers like looked so amazing, is because you were comparing seeing like Sony Michel go off the line to like just Cam Akers just blowing by people.
That's why all this stuff with the injury projection is so hard, right? Because say the Darrell thing, we didn't read into it enough. And then the Cam Akers thing, we played it the other way. We're like, oh, the incumbent, you know, is going to hold on to this. They're going to ease Akers in. And so, I mean, even the same thing with the Henry Foreman, like Kitchen, which way do you think that goes? Is it more Darrell Williams or is it more, you know, Cam Akers?
Spoiler alert. I know.
Kitchen's
going to say.
I think they're going to split. Like I think and it's going to be dependent on obviously the flow of the game, but I don't see Derrick Henry getting, you know, 25 touches in this game, like coming back from injury. Like
what's even the point of half the big dog though? You know what I mean?
Just like, yeah, because then he's just a regular running back. I don't know. Like, I think he's still a very large man, and he's still going to punish people in the fourth quarter. But is he going to be the same big dog that just torched the NFL the first half of the season? I don't think we have the answer to that. And so, like, if you're playing him in that, you're just hoping for best case scenario.
The FFPC boomers, they are hoping for it.
Well, all I know is Foreman made himself a lot of money. Schefter is not saying that. Soccer Dave is, because
do you guys want, since the show is self-indulgent enough, do you guys want to help me out with a game theory problem for one of my postseason contests?
I'll indulge it. Yeah.
So I, this is the NFC platform. And so the way it works is you make weekly roster moves, week 1, 1 player per team, week 2, 2 players, so on and so forth, up into the Super Bowl, and the players get a multiplier. So I have Patrick Mahomes. Now his score is multiplied by 2 this week. by three next week, by four in the Super Bowl. And so I set my team up, no surprise, like we were going to have a Cowboys Chiefs Super Bowl, which means that I played Dak. So I have to replace Dak. I played Josh Jacobs, who I have to replace. I played the Cardinals kicker, who I have to replace. And I played the Patriots defense, who I have to replace, which is like the equivalent of the FFPC soft fade, basically. Okay. So this is basically the question. So yeah. I have to replace a running back, and I have to replace kicker, defense, and a quarterback. But I don't have a spot right now the way I set it up to play Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, because I was anticipating the Cowboys winning and using a replacement there. So I have to replace one of these two players, I think, with Tyreek Hill. Cooper Kupp, Devonta Adams, Ja'Marr Chase, A.J. Brown, or Rob Gronkowski, all of them have a 2x multiplier, or...
Gosh, there's more?
Or...
Let me write this down, guys.
Basically, it's do you a 2... You remove a 2x Cooper Kupp for Tyreek Hill, or do you play Jerick McKinnon as your Chiefs running back to get a Chiefs multiplier? Is really
Couldn't
what
that have just been the original question to save us 8 minutes?
My macro.
It's a very complex game.
My guess is if you were playing the Cowboys Super Bowl, you are down bad relative to the Fields portion, and you need to go more.
I'm not, because I have Eli Mitchell on a multiplier, and because Mahomes was like not even close to the most owned quarterback. Like he was like the fourth most owned quarterback.
I don't know. Put your balls on the table, fade Kupp, put in Jerick McKinnon for the brand.
Well, you can't do both. You can't do both because I can only put in two Chiefs right here.
Okay.
So it's basically Tyreek over Kupp or hope that McKinnon is the Chiefs' lead running back.
I feel comfortable chasing the steam on McKinnon.
Well, I did it last year with Fournette. I added Fournette in this round, and I was like drawing live to win in the end, but then the Chiefs didn't score an offensive touchdown in the Super Bowl, and that
There you go. That's your thesis. Yeah.
I think the decision's easier if you do think you're down bad, because then you go CEH.
Not doing that. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
Clyde is not entering into my plans here at all.
100%.
No, Clyde is going to – this is so weird, but the Chiefs have had the exact same thing happen in their backfield every postseason for the last three seasons. 2019, Damian got injured. Darwin Thompson, Spencer Ware, and LeSean McCoy were splitting touches until Damian came back, and then he just smashed in the playoffs, and they gave him the ball all throughout the playoffs. Last year, CH got hurt, came back, and he was just in a straight 50-50 with Darryl, and now it's happening again. CH is hurt again. And Daryl's hurt, and I mean, who knows?
So if we have word, so let's just pretend CH guaranteed to play this week. We don't know anything out more. We just know CH is going to be active. What's the line the rest of the way on CH versus McKinnon?
Like, who knows? I mean, literally, I have no, like, I don't
that's,
have
that's
any
the point, though.
To guess. Yeah,
that's the point, though. Nobody knows. And
my
we know what people will be doing.
My gut is that Andy Reid gives the work to the guy who plays the best in this game against the Bills. That if they beat the Bills, whoever plays the best,
being the hot hand guy.
But
that's kind of the point Peter was making earlier with mentioning all these injury situations where it's just paid off to do. We don't know what's going to happen in any of these injury situations. And so far it's just been paying off to do the opposite of what everyone thinks is going to happen, basically.
Hey,
what do you think happens in the Buccaneers backfield?
I mean, I think that one's more obvious.
I don't know, dude. Gio just played so well in a win.
He'll get sparse passing down work. He'll get some third down work. I don't think he'll get all the third down work, but he'll get a decent amount. And Vaughn just won't have a role.
Yeah. So bell cow Lenny is more back to probably like 80% Lenny with Gio mixing in a bit.
Yeah.
I think I found a prop that I like.
Props.
Kitchen bringing us back on track.
That's why he's the host.
That was quite the 10-minute brain flex from Davis. So apologies to those that are listening.
Dude, I'm just trying to win some TD money.
That was good. Yeah. tell us about your draft. Who did you draft? Go down the line. But no, in this Rams Bucks game, Tyler Johnson has an over under of 30.5. And our projections like him way under that. And also, didn't he get chewed out by Tommy on last week? So I'm just saying, that's a good under for Tyler Johnson.
When you say way under, what do our projections have him? I'm actually
I think it at 18.
That seems low.
So you tell, just back me up publicly and then message me privately.
and then I'll mess in the projections team and say, hey, you might want to check this one out. It seems pretty low for a guy that's I mean, he doesn't get targets, but he's running those three targets. Running those laps.
So all right. Bucks and Chiefs. Let's end it on a strong note. Let's bring it.
Bucks and the Chiefs? Are we fast forwarding to Bills, a hypothetical Super Bowl?
Bills and the Chiefs. Let's bring it back. Let's end on a high note.
I am absolutely terrified that the Chiefs are going to screw this up. I am not confident.
Like, are they going to screw this up, or is Buffalo just a really, really good team right now?
The Chiefs have the number one advantage in all of professional sports, and that they have the best player at the most important position, but they find ways to screw it up all the time.
Do you know what your comp for this game is? It's that Chiefs home game versus the Patriots in the conference championship game in 2019, where the Patriots come in, that game went to OT. That's the game that's coming for the Chiefs here. If we could get an OT game in this spot, though, that would be so nice.
And then 2020, when the Titans came in after the Chiefs bye and beat them. That was
I didn't remember that one. That was up to the Titans historian to pull that.
No, that was the Mariota game where he threw a touchdown pass to himself. Okay.
I mean, what I'm worried about is just that, I mean, obviously, like, you already know Steve Spagnuolo is going to do something really dumb with the way they choose to guard Stephon Diggs that will leave him open for at least one 45-yard touchdown. But the other thing that I worry about is that the Chiefs just, it feels like ever since they won the first Super Bowl, they've got to get punched before they start trying. You know, the Texans game, they go down 21-0.
I saw this take from you, and it was like Davis from Kansas City on local sports radio take. Like, that's
no,
not
but
true
I,
at all.
I really believe it.
I know, but that's like a sports radio take. That's like a
homework. I mean, how else do you explain what they do in all these games? Like, it happened in the Browns game. It happened, obviously, it happened last week.
Like, take a step back. Do you really think they're saying, let's not try until we get punched in the mouth?
And no, I don't think they're. I don't think they're saying that. I just think they are coming into these games like, we're the Kansas City Chiefs. We're the best. We have Mahomes. He's the GOAT. He'll bail us out. And then Mahomes does bail them out. But I don't know. It just feels like they're sort of a, I mean, they punted four times against the Steelers in the first quarter.
Some egregious punts. What do you think is going to happen in this game, Tuttle?
Bills.
Okay.
Bills win. I agree. It's a Diggs game. Gabe Davis, Diggs.
Peter?
Isaiah McKenzie, maybe. Davis.
Yeah. Guy. I think this Chiefs team has looked a little shaky all year, and
they've looked hella shaky.
Yeah, I mean, Davis, you fired that tweet off in the first quarter of that last game, where you like, the Bills are gonna curb stomp.
If they have one quarter as bad as they have against, one quarter as bad as the first quarter against the Steelers. If they do that against the Bills, it's over. It's done. I mean, if they have a pick six or a fumble six against the Bills, I mean, it's just done. There, you can't. Because the Bills are going to get to 35 against that defense. You got to get to 38.
Yeah. I like the Bills in this spot too.
Correct.
I mean, I kind of do too. Regardless though, Patrick Mahomes, his prop is 281.5 yards. That seems low.
I mean, smash the
RG projection here on my little overlay on the underdog pick 'em, 317 yards. That's that's a pretty big gap on the line.
Yeah. So hammer that until Tuttle.
I'm more on board with that one.
The passing yards props tend to be, they just always look a little bit low to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Underdog Bates is taking overs.
It's to defend my Tyler Johnson stance. It's not that I like him. That's just a very low yardage projection on a guy that runs 95% of the team's routes.
Yeah. You're saying like it could happen in one play.
Yeah. So like you'd rather take chances on guys that you just know.
But that's what we do. Like that's how, like Levitan, when he does hit, like if you look a lot of Levitan's prop bets, they're gross. They're all unders. Or a lot of them are. And the unders are like,
yeah, that's what sweats. Smart. That's what smart sports bettors do.
Right. I just did it, Davis. Thank you. So terrible sweats though, because again, one thing can happen and it ruins it. Or like in basketball, you're rooting for misses. Like when they're making it, you're just like, stop it. So, all right. Final thoughts before we close out this show. Davis, you have any other questions about upcoming playoff-centric contests that you want to throw out there?
No, I'm good. I still don't know what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad we took all that time, and you still don't have a
clear direction. It's a tough spot.
All right.
Tough spot, bud.
So you're betting Chiefs this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but I don't think it's smart. Like if I was a total impartial.
You should send out a tweet that says 100,000 to 1 mil on the Chiefs this weekend. Come at me.
No, I'm not doing that. Although those Empire tweets were very funny. He's like, mommy, I have all this Bitcoin and Ethereum, but I can't bet on a game.
All I know is from telling the Cowboys whenever, and I didn't even see the tweet. Someone posted it in a thread I was in, and I was like, oh, great. Like, you don't want to see that.
No, you there are a couple guys you don't want to see. Like, Bales is one of them. Yeah. Empire, like, whenever those guys are like, oh, I'm looking for big free action on X, Y, or Z, you're like, well.
If you had the opposite side, like, I kind of knew that that I was screwed at that.
I have a proposal.
Yeah,
I have an indecent proposal. So like I said, we did tentatively say no show next week. Yeah. I'm going to propose.
I want to do a show next week.
But listen to the stipulation. I'll make this fun. I think if we hit one of these two-leg parlays, we should do the show. The first would be both Titans and the Chiefs win. So Dave and Kitchen are happy. We do a show in that. Or
if both
the Bengals and Bills win, we also do a show. So either max happiness,
all right,
max pain, no in between.
If we do a show, it's got to be earlier in the week though, because by the time Wednesday rolls around, I'm already moved on. Like the pain has already.
Obviously we're doing it on Wednesday.
No, because it'll be a conference championship preview. And yeah,
I personally love doing my conference championship previews Sunday night. So if we could just do it then, that'd be great.
Do you accept my proposal, Dave?
Yeah, I accept your proposal.
All right.
Davis, do you accept?
I want to do the show regardless, but yes.
Okay, and to add even more pain to this, Davis does not get paid if it's the if it's the one where the Chiefs lose. He has to get on the show.
I mean, Dave, I will let paid. I will let you think that, but I will be submitting my time card the same way I always do.
I'll talk to
that would be
director.
One of the greatest HR conversations ever of haggling over this time card.
Oh, hey, Davis, I noticed that you filled out four shows, but we kind of said we're not paying you for the conference championship show.
Because the Chiefs lost. Sorry, bud.
Of course, this conversation will be happening in 2023. So by the time the time cards got filled out. All right. Give us a like. Subscribe to the Swolecast channel. Remember, bet MGM, or promo code is Grinders Bet, or if you live in New York, it's just Grinders, and you get $1,000. Man, those initial like bets when your state goes live, they're so nice. So Grinders for bet MGM. and get you that $1,000 free bet. All right, or risk-free bet. I think I needed to say that. Okay, that will be it for the show. We'll see you maybe next week. I might even do this for free without Davis if the Titans win and the Chiefs lose. Like, without Davis.
I mean, I just, want to do the show next week anyway.
You want to get, Davis, just be honest. Like, you want to get paid for taking an hour out of your day where you can be semi-focused on
semi is a little generous.
Semi is generous.
Well, semi, like on other stuff and do this show. Like I know why you want to do this.
No, I like the show. I love, I genuinely look forward to catching up with you guys every week.
All right. We'll see what happens. Let us know in the comments what you want, what your predictions are, and we'll see you later. If not next week, definitely the week before Super Bowl. Peace.